Radio Prague News.
Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek has said it is untenable for Jiří Čunek to remain in the government. The governing coalition has agreed to introduce a 15% flat income tax next year. And the Czech football squad have been fined €1 million for excessive drinking after a game. Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek has said it is untenable for Jiří Čunek to remain in the government. Mr. Topolánek told the daily Hospodářské noviny that an investigation against alleged bribe-taking by Mr. Čunek was damaging the whole government. The Prime Minister said he would offer to reinstate Mr. Čunek in the positions of Deputy Prime Minister and Regional Development Minister if he proved his innocence. On Tuesday, the two men are due to discuss the situation with the leader of the third party in the coalition, the Greens. Meanwhile, the governing coalition has agreed to introduce a flat 15% income tax rate from the start of next year. Prime Minister Topolánek told Hospodářské noviny that it and other changes to the tax system would benefit all Czechs, though he did concede that the middle classes would save the least. His government is set to present an entire package of tax and social welfare reforms next week. The Czech football squad have been fined €1 million, that's almost $50,000, for rowdily celebrating the birthday of player Tomáš Ujfalusi after a game on Saturday. Team captain Tomáš Rosický said the fine had been deserved and admitted the players had been drinking. However, tabloid allegations that there had been prostitutes in the players' rooms have been denied. The trial of Vladimír Železný began at Prague City Court on Monday. Mr. Železný, who is now a member of the European Parliament, faces charges of harming a creditor, the company CME, which owns TV Nova, of which Mr. Železný was general director. He himself failed to appear, saying he had to attend a session of the European Parliament. Three of Mr. Železny's lawyers are also on trial. Czech farmers held a protest at a border crossing with Austria on Monday against the import of Austrian pork. Around 200 farmers took part in the demonstration, which lasted from around 11 a.m. to noon. They say pig farming in the Czech Republic is under serious threat, as supermarket chains buy meat from abroad, driving down prices in this country. The manufacture of bicycles in the Czech Republic is on the rise after several years of decline, Mladá fronta dnes reported. While in 2002, 50,000 bicycles were made in this country, last year six times as many were produced. The paper said the upturn had followed the introduction of a European Union customs levy aimed at protecting EU firms from cheap imports from Asia. My name is Ian Willoughby. You'll find more stories at radio.cz. But for now, that's the end of the news.
You're tuned to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Jan Wellinger. In today's program, a less than satisfying victory at a party congress for the leader of the country's largest opposition party, the Social Democrats. Is it a warning for Jiří Paroubek? Time is running out for a top politician accused of corruption. A defeat for the Czechs by Germany in Euro qualifying in football. We'll have the story and all the rest of the sports news. All coming up. The weekend conference of the Social Democratic Party saw the re-election of Jiří Paroubek to the post of chairman. But it was a bitter victory for the old new leader. Even without a rival, Mr. Paroubek received only 60% of delegates' votes, and the stormy debate that preceded his election was an indication of the serious internal crisis that is racking the country's leading opposition party. Daniela Lazarová has more.
9 months after the party's election defeat in general elections, Jiří Paroubek was made to pay his dues. He was openly criticised for not having accepted responsibility for the election defeat, for being arrogant and dictatorial. Mr. Paroubek, who originally threatened to resign if the party did not elect the deputies of his choosing, was in a chastised mood as he responded to the torrent of criticism.
I'm sure I'm not without faults, but I challenge my opponents to say when I showed myself unwilling to listen to criticism and discuss problems in the party's deputies group in Parliament.
The fact that the party deputies all gained 85 to 90% support has some commentators suggesting that Jiří Paroubek is on his way out and may soon be replaced by the Social Democrats' crown prince, Bohuslav Sobotka, a politician who is young, more moderate and highly communicative. Political analyst Vladimíra Dvořáková believes the time is not yet ripe for a change of leadership.
Congress sent some message to Mr. Paroubek that they wanted him to be re-elected, but they wanted him to be sure that his position is not as strong. And I think the message was mainly about that it's necessary to communicate more and to be able also to analyze the mistakes he has done. And I think that this was the main message. As far as Mr. Sobotka, I think that he is the person of the future of Social Democrats. But I think this is not the time for him now to come. And also I think that he would like to do that in this moment. He's rather young still. He needs some more experience and he needs some more stabilization of the party. So I think that the mandate of Mr. Paroubek is rather low, but he is able to analyze his own mistakes and he's accepting the main criticism that was said about him.
There is, however, much more standing in the way of the party's success than its authoritarian leader. The party is seeking a new direction. It needs to attract young people. And although modernization was the operative word at this conference, there was little to show for it in practice. Mr. Paroubek's proposal to introduce quotas for women and young people on the party's list of election candidates was swept off the table. Vladimíra Dvořáková says that unless the party can open up to reform, it has no future.
It seems that Social Democratic Party has no real program for younger generation or even not program of women. And this is quite surprising because mainly the center-left-wing parties are speaking about the same opportunities, about the supporting young people, educated people, and so on. So this they have to change. How they will do that is the other question.
A lot of Mr. Paroubek's suggestions were swept off the table. So what's the situation in the party? Does everyone there want change? Or is there a majority that would actually be able to implement it?
I think that the main problem is the structure of the party and probably the factions that are operating on the level of the regions, that the party is somehow frozen, in, if I can use this expression. And that means there are older people with no ideas or with competing one to another and not thinking about the program.
Political analyst Vladimíra Dvořáková talking there to Daniela Lazarová about serious tasks ahead for the Social Democrats and their leader Jiří Paroubek. Now, he has only been in top politics for a few months and his future is already looking uncertain. Jiří Čunek's career got off to a rocket start last year when the mayor of the Moravian town of Sekín was elected senator, then chairman of his Christian Democratic Party, before eventually being appointed deputy prime minister and minister for regional development, that in the coalition cabinet of Mirek Topolánek's. Jiří Čunek is no stranger to controversy. As Sekín's mayor, he divided public opinion by evicting Roma rent defaulters from the center of the town, a move which probably earned him many votes. When earlier this year police charged him with corruption, a case going back to 2002 when he was mayor of Sekín, Mr. Čunek was stripped of his parliamentary immunity. At that time, both his own party and the prime minister stood by him. Now, Prime Minister Topolánek seems to have lost patience with the long, drawn-out case and has openly said the situation is no longer tenable. He also said Mr. Čunek's government posts should remain open and be returned to him if he clears his name. Pavla Horáková spoke to political commentator Petr Just and asked him why it had taken Prime Minister Topolánek so long.
Mr. Topolánek was waiting whether the situation will be solved quickly, as Mr. Čunek promised. He always said that all the evidences are for him, not against, and that he will present such evidences and that he will try to challenge the accusation that has been raised against him. However, it is obvious that probably those evidences are not so clear, or it will take some more time to collect all the evidences or complete all the evidences. And I understand, Mr. Topolánek, that waiting more and more time could be actually a disadvantage for the government as the collective body.
Now, Mr. Čunek maintains that he's innocent and says that the case has been contrived against him and therefore he will not step down. Do you think that he should have resigned as soon as the police brought charges against him?
If he is 100% sure that it's artificial and that the result of possible case will definitely clean him, he should have stepped down, wait for the result, and then returns, as he was promised by Mr. Topolánek, that after successful case, after the case is successfully finished, that he will return to government. Now, however, we are in a situation when we are still waiting. We have voices from one side accusing Mr. Čunek, voices from other side who are defending Mr. Čunek. We don't know, and the only institution that can decide is independent court. So until the independent court decides whether such accusation has been true or not, I think it would be much better for both Mr. Čunek and the Christian Democrats and the government, that is a collective body, as I said, for Mr. Čunek to resign and to wait for results.
Now, how do cases like Mr. Čunek's case affect the Czech political climate?
We could say that the Czech political climate or Czech citizens are already kind of used to face or to witness such cases. I'm mentioning especially Mr. Gross, the former prime minister and former Social Democratic chairman Gross, and his corruption scandals or property scandals. And so Czech people, I think, are not surprised if anything like that appears in politics, and which is, on the other side, very sad statement.
That interview by Pavla Horáková, talking there to independent analyst Petr Just. And now let's turn to all the news in sport. We're joined by Colleen O'Connor.
Thanks, Jan. Starting with football, and the Czech international side suffered a setback on Saturday when they lost at home 2-1 to Germany in a Euro 2008 qualifying match. Two headed goals by Kevin Kuranyi either side of half-time were enough to give the Germans all 3 points despite a late goal by Milan Baroš. The result leaves the Czechs 3 points behind the Germans at the top of their qualifying group, level with Ireland but with a game in hand. Speaking after the match, the Czech Republic's AC Milan defender Marek Jankulovský said that they had lost to the better team on the night.
Unfortunately, we gave away a goal at a corner and the second one also came from a cross, so obviously we were deficient in that area. It's a pity because we wanted a good result in this match, but we can't do anything about it now. The Germans were simply better. We now have to look to Wednesday's match to get 3 points, which is very important.
The Czech Republic will play Cyprus on Wednesday in what is now a must-win game. Ice hockey now, and Extraliga holders Sparta Prague moved a step closer to this year's final at the weekend when they beat the best team in the league phase, Liberec, 5-2 to move into a 3-1 lead in their best of seven semi-final series. In the other semi-final, CSKA Budějovice clawed their way back into contention by beating Pardubice 3-0. This leaves their series finely poised, with Pardubice holding a slim 2-1 lead. Now, last week, we mistakenly reported that Czech cross-country skier Kateřina Neumannová, who won 2 world championships and an Olympic gold medal in a glittering career, had skied in her last race. She had actually taken part in her last race at the renowned Holmenkollen ski run in Oslo, where she finished a disappointing 7th. She did much better, though, in what really was her last ever race, finishing 2nd to her great Norwegian rival Marit Bjørgen in Saturday's Skiathlon World Cup in Falun, Sweden. After the event, Neumannová was pleased that she had finished her career competing for top spot.
I'm extremely satisfied because the last 2 weekends weren't very good. I was a little bit out of form and today the surface was wet, which I don't like, so I expected a pretty average result, but I actually skied well. Unfortunately, Marit didn't give me anything at the end. When she's in form, she's very hard to beat at the finish. She was better than me, but otherwise I'm pretty satisfied. I was pretty comfortable for long periods in the race and strong in the hills, but got 2nd place. I just hope I don't stay in 2nd place for the rest of my life.
Kateřina Neumannová is now set to embark on a new career as a TV show host. And that's all the sport we have for you today.
Moving on now, let me just remind our listeners that you are, of course, listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time for One-on-One. My guest is successful Czech-Japanese businessman Tomio Okamura. In his mid-30s, Tomio moved to Prague from Tokyo in 1994 and within a number of years found his passion in the travel industry. Gradually, he has become a household name here in the tourism business, bringing thousands of Japanese visitors to the Czech Republic each year. But Tomio makes clear success didn't come easily. In our interview, he discusses how early in life he was made repeatedly to feel he didn't belong either in his homeland Japan or then Czechoslovakia. Feelings he has overcome in part through his business, but also charity work. When Tomio and I met recently at his downtown Prague office, the first thing I asked him about were his Czech roots. Tomio Okamura, One-on-One.
The main connection is, of course, my mother. My mother came from the Moravia, and it was a very interesting story how my mother, Helena, met my father, Matsuo. Because, as you know, in the socialist Czechoslovakia, there was not possible to travel. So my grandfather, because he learned a lot of languages and he wanted to do some traveling, but because it was not possible, so he made a lot of pen friends around the world. One time he received address from one Japanese, and in that time he asked my mother, because she was in the high school at the time and she learned English, if she has an interest to write to this man. They exchanged letters for many, many years, and the first chance to meet each other was when my father came to Europe. It was former West Germany, to University of the Heidelberg. My father was maybe 25, 24, and my mother was 26 or 27. So my father came to visit my mother. It was just a very friendly relationship. And after maybe 1 year, he came to Czechoslovakia again. And in that time, he spent 1 year here. He bought some motorbike. It was Java, yeah, it is typical Czech bike, and he traveling with my mother around Czechoslovakia and so on, and then they decided to get married.
Were they married here or were they married in Japan?
In Prague, and in the autumn 1966, born my older brother, and my mother and father moved to Japan, and after 6 years. I was born in Tokyo, and my younger brother, he is 1 year younger than me, so he was born in Tokyo as well.
What was your childhood like growing up there?
Maybe one of the most important and maybe big memories should be one moment when I was 4 years old, and this moment followed me all my life. When I was able first time to go to supermarket, which was near from our apartment, and I bought something, and this person who worked in this supermarket asked me, why you speak Japanese as Japanese? You are not Japanese. And at that time, I understood first time and definitely that I am foreigner everywhere. So at that time I thought about if it will be better to be only 100% Japanese or 100% Czech. And I still was not able to find my position, my place in the society. I had a lot of bad experience because in Japan, in the school, for example, in the lunchtime, my classmates did not want to sit next to me. When we went to walk outside with the class, together with class, classmates didn't want to walk next to me because I was different. So it was very hard. I was not accepted that I am same like they are. And it was in the Czech Republic and the Huma life. So when people asking me in Czech Republic, where you feel that you are at home? So in Czech Republic, I say that I am Japanese, but anyway, I like Czech Republic and it is my home. When asking me Japanese, I say that I am from the Czech Republic. They know because my face is not as typical Japanese that I am not from Japan. So everywhere I am foreigner.
How did your mother find living in Japan at that time?
It was very, very, very difficult for her. And there was mainly two reasons. One is that Japan in this time, it was not so rich country. So it was very hard for father to pay, for example, every year, some flight ticket for my mother and the children's to Czech Republic. So it was simply say it was not possible. Another reason was that, of course, my father was a typical Japanese man, so he preferred to be at work, to spend, because it is necessary as well, to spend some time after work with the colleagues. So my mother was alone, and she was very sad. And in that time, there was not many foreigners in Japan, blonde hair and white skin and so on. So she shined all the time. They had a big psychologist problems. The situation became so bad. So my mother was forced to move to Czech Republic to the hospital. And we three small children went together with her. And so my first visit of Czech Republic was very unusual. My grandmother took care of my older brother, but me and my younger brother was sent to the children's home.
Was there anything from this period when you were in Czechoslovakia as a boy that was positive when your mom got better?
When I was child, so honestly say, I preferred Japan maybe 100% because there was a lot of lights and it was very colorful. When you came to Czech Republic, it was dark, all is gray.
It was still communist Czechoslovakia.
Yes, of course. And there was not any big fun for me. Basically, my wish was to be in Japan and to spend all my life in Japan, not in Czech Republic.
How did you view the fall of communism in Czechoslovakia in 1989 when you were yourself about, what, 17?
We are very, very anti-communist family. And this moment definitely changed my life because, you know, this experience which I had till this time was very important for me from the one point, because I wanted very strongly to show to all the Czech and Japanese that I'm not so bad because I'm half. Yes, that I can be competitive with them, or maybe I wanted to show them that I'm better.
Tell me a little bit about the most recent presentation that you've put together of Japanese artists. The show is called The Samurai, and it's going to be shown at the Prague Municipal Hall, the historic Municipal Hall.
Yes, it is my next endeavor is that I invited 230 Japanese actors from Japan on March to the most prestigious concert hall in Czech Republic. I want to show to Czech visitors nice moments from the Japanese cultures. It is free of charge for all, but if somebody wants, he can buy ticket and it will be donation for the children's home when I spent near to 1 year when I was 7 years old. So all can join and we can understand without any language. We can understand each other and be together.
You've been listening to One on One, which brings us to the end of today's program. We hope you enjoyed it. I'm Jan Wellinger. Please tune in again soon.